Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
A week is a long time in politics. Just ask Malcolm Turnbull. 3 months is a very, very long time on celebrity fan websites. August 23, 2009. Joe Ziegler writes, "Anyone who's ever seen Tiger Woods play golf knows there's something very special about him. But have you ever considered that he might actually be God?" In 1996, Ziegler writes, "Tiger's father Earl told Sports Illustrated that his son would be bigger than Gandhi or Buddha and that he is the chosen one. He'll have power to impact the nations." Pretty big claims. Name of the website, the domain name. Anyone know it? www.tigerwoodsisgod.com. This is the website called the Church of Tiger Woods. Mr. Ziegler writes on, "This website is the official home of the First Church of Tiger Woods. It's dedicated to examining the possibility that God is walking the earth as a 21st century, multi-ethnic, superstar golfer, and whether that is more or less likely than God coming in the form of a first century Jewish carpenter." Now, I'm sure long before Tiger decided to do some off-road driving in the middle of the night, I think he would have known very clearly that he was no Messiah. November 27, 2009, Mr. Ziegler writes again, "According to his agent, Tiger Woods is fine after a bizarre car accident outside of his home very late Thanksgiving night. The mayor of Windermere, Florida, where Tiger resides, has said he was released from hospital with facial lacerations. The pastor," who's the pastor? Well, he's Mr. Ziegler from the First Church of Tiger Woods, "has always feared an untimely death for our Messiah. And since he's 33, the same age as Jesus when he was sacrificed, the danger was even greater this year. We can all be thankful that apparently this dire fate has been dodged." A handful of days later, December 1, 2009, Mr. Ziegler writes, "After several days of evaluation, I've decided to disband the First Church of Tiger Woods, as indicated by the graphics at the top of the website. I will not renew the Tiger Woods is God domain name when it expires in a couple of months." If the internet was around in the first century, then it's likely that the Apostle John would have taken out a domain name. www.thewordisgod.com. We, in fact, have a record of what would have been on the Apostle John's homepage. It is, in fact, the Christmas message. I wonder what would be some of the words that would typically come to the minds of Aussies when Christmas is mentioned. Gotta just think. Word association, Christmas mentioned, what does your average Aussie think of? Holidays, reckon? Is that reasonable? Bloated tummies, little sleep, Christmas afternoon, no Gerhard, I don't know. At our place we have a bit of a snooze. Boxing Day test, yep. Presents. Christmas is, in fact, about giving, because God gave a very, very special baby. Who's the baby? The Apostle John tells us about the baby in his opening words of his gospel. The baby is the Word. The word is life. The word is light. The word became flesh. And the word is glorious. These are the words that describe Christmas. These are the words that actually describe the meaning of Christmas. And if you've got your Bibles open there, just look down, verse 1, verse 14, and verse 17. Verse 1 speaks of the word, verse 14, the word, and then talks about this becoming flesh, and then verse 17, Jesus Christ. You see, the subject of the Apostle John's homepage is Jesus Christ. What he's doing is he starts his gospel, he's setting out to explain Jesus. He's doing that because Christmas is about Jesus. And I'm not sure if it's 18 or 19. Is it 18 sleeps? Leon, no. No, 19. We'll go with 19. 19 more sleeps to Christmas. As we kind of get ready for Christmas celebrations, I do want us to simply ask ourselves the question, how big, when you think in your mind, how big is your Jesus? Because the biblical description of Jesus is simply breathtaking. John begins with words that kind of cast our minds back to Genesis 1. If you've got your Bibles open there, John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And he uses this word, the Word, if you like, as a title. And that's translated from a word, logos. Have you heard of that word? Logos. And when John uses this word, the word, logos, what he's doing is, in a very, very insightful way, he's connecting with a big audience. Because logos, the word, was something that in Greek philosophy was well known. It went all the way back to the time of Socrates. And it had the idea of that there was a divine and universal power. And then there were a lot of Greek-speaking Jews that were kind of spread out through that first century world. And when they heard the word logos, they thought of divine wisdom. So there's a Greek idea of this kind of impersonal power. There's Greek-speaking Jews who are thinking of divine wisdom. And as John speaks and writes to Jewish Christians, the idea of logos, the word, would have evoked Old Testament connections with God's Torah. What do you mean by Torah? Well, we translate it as law, but it's much more than that. I think of God's Torah as God's revelation. And when they heard word, logos, they would have been thinking about God revealing. You see, Torah or law is much more than do this, don't do that. It's much more than commandments. Think of God's Torah this way. This is God giving us answers. That's how the Jews saw Torah. And in Isaiah, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago at the beginning of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 2, God promised that his Torah would once again go forth. This time, not from Sinai again, but would go forth from Zion or Jerusalem. And additionally, around this time, sort of around the first century, in Jewish writings, concepts of Torah and concepts of wisdom were personalized. And so what John does, he brings this together, but brings very, very specific meaning to the word, to the logos. And the easiest, the quickest, the simplest way to understand the word is simply this. The word is God's self-revelation. Christmas is about God's self-revelation, God's word, in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, what John's doing, he's setting out to actually explain the person, Jesus Christ, the word. Because it's in the word that has revealed to us God's purposes, his plans, indeed, his very self. That is, God was and is in communion and communication with his people. Just this week, on December the 3rd, you will have read about it in the paper, the Parliament of the World Religions has started in Melbourne, an event run for 7 days. As I've been reflecting on this passage this week and following the news of the World Parliament of Religion, or the Parliament of World Religions, I thought, I don't know, what do you reckon, Sunday morning? Do you reckon they might kind of gather these thousands of delegates, open up John 1, understand the word? That's what John's saying. Jesus Christ is the word. He is God's self-revelation to us. Think of it this way. What God wants to say to every person has been said in Jesus Christ. Well, John says the word was with God. With God. It's really kind of important little four-letter word. What he means by that is the word was in active relationship, but also by saying with, he means there's a distinguishing between the Father and the word. There's intimacy, but two distinct persons. And all the way through John's Gospel, you read about that intimacy that Jesus shared with the Father. And we know later on in John's Gospel, John 17, that the Word was with the Father before creation. That is, the Word was not created. Unlike wisdom, because the Jews considered that wisdom had actually been created at some stage. No, the Word's not created at all. John tells us that. See, John says the Word is fully deity, not partly deity. He says the Word is fully deity. See what he says? He says the Word was with God, and then what? The Word was God. If you want to know God, then you must know Jesus Christ. The Word was with God. The Word was God. If you want to know God, you have to know Jesus Christ. Back in Genesis 1, God spoke. He spoke, and just miracle of all miracles, he brought the cosmos into being. And now John says in verse 3, through him, who's him? Through the Word. All things were made. Without him, who's him? Without the Word, nothing was made that has been made. The Word is the agent of creation. The Father creates through him. John says that all things, everything, was created by Jesus the Word. Try and get your mind around that. There is nothing, nothing in the whole cosmos that doesn't owe its origin to Jesus. Is that good for the grey matter on a Sunday morning? Nothing. There is nothing too big to be created by him. There is nothing too small to be created by him. The Word, the Logos. In him, John says, speaking of Jesus, the Word, in him was life. Verse 4. That's the second Christmas word. It's simply life. What does it mean by that? Well, the life was always there. It was pre-existing. And the life gives life to all. To everyone. No matter where they live, doesn't matter when they've lived, doesn't matter what race, what creed, what gender, rich, poor, everything owes its life to the life. The Word gives physical life to all. The Word is the only one who can give spiritual eternal life. Just a little later on in John's Gospel, Jesus says these immortal words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's a great Christmas word. The life. Now, the Christmas season, of course, is great business for the light globe industry. There's great rivalry between homeowners in some suburbs. Last year or two, we've got some people down the street from us. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing what they're doing in the front yard. I think it's starting to catch on. We're not in sort of massive competition, one house to the other. But over in the Ivanhoe Boulevard, there's lots of competition between the homes, people seeking to outdo one another. It's great for business. There's a business called Santa's Place that operates down in the southeastern suburbs. It's been going great guns, or should we say it's been really lighting up. If you've got some spare cash in your pocket after buying your auditorium chair, you could go and get a garden light, the trip to Bethlehem. Anyone want to guess how much that might set you back? What do you reckon, Millie? It's good to have you here too. Guess a number. How much do you think a garden light of the trip to Bethlehem might cost? I can really see it at the front of your house. $4.75. How many do you want? Well, you got more money than that. You could take the nativity scene and put it in the front lawn. A little more pricey. $6.80. Actually, the reality is the world doesn't need any more light globes. Light globes burn out, even the new Philips ones do. And just like failing light globes, there are many, many false spiritual lights in the world. False lights fade out. They don't bring new life. What the spiritually dark, dark world needs is the true light. And Christmas is the time of the bright light. It's when God makes his message bright and clear. John writes, "In him, in the Word, was life. And that life was the light of men." Light is always connected in Scripture with the presence, the being of God. And so, when John calls Jesus, the Word, the light, he's saying this. He's saying, Jesus is the Christmas message in person. He's the message that brings the presence of God, that brings the truth of God to all. A little boy heard his Sunday school teacher say that Jesus was the light of the world. Little one was a literalist. So after the class, the little kid goes up to his teacher and says, "Miss, if Jesus is the light of the world, I wish he'd come and hang out in my alley because it's awful dark where I live." Who's the Christmas baby? It's the Word who brings light to a spiritually dark, dark world. Now, John says the darkness can't conquer the light. Can't do it. And of course, the answer is, of course it can't do it. Because the Word, who is the light, is God. Each evening, physical darkness, now I guess it's what, about 8:30, 8:45, physical darkness puts out, extinguishes the light of day. This is actually what the spiritual darkness sought to do with the earthly ministry of Jesus. But he just simply overcame it. He overcame it as we remembered in communion through his resurrection from the dead. Now, this coming of the light does mean that there's a choice that's made and has to be made by everyone. Now look what John says in verse 10. He says, the Word was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own. He's speaking there about the nation of Israel, but his own didn't receive him. Yet to all, much more than the nation of Israel who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Catch what he's saying? He's saying by believing in the Word, we are actually given the authority to become what no human effort could accomplish. Only Jesus can induct us into God's family. And what does it mean to become God's child? It means that we receive the divine nature of which the perfect image is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. Great Christmas words. The Word, who is the life, who is the light. John says the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This one. The Word who was with God and was God, who is the life, who is the light, amazingly, stunningly, in a way that we can't comprehend, became flesh. You see, the Christmas message is embodied in one word, small w. It's that the Word, capital W, became flesh. Real, breathing, skin-covered humanity. God's great act of redemption was rolled out on the stage of human history in the babe of Bethlehem. The Word who came, and as Bruce was praying before, tabernacled, templed, dwelt with us. When the Word entered human history, eternal life entered human history. Do you think about it? This was no kind of magic act for God to say, wow, look what I can do. I can become a human. He wasn't trying to show off. He wasn't trying to impress, not like us. God doesn't have to impress anyone. When the Word became flesh, he took up our case. That is grace. He is the most glorious one. What's the Christmas message? The Word became flesh. God becomes human. And that wonderful Christian writer, Eugene Peterson, puts it like this. He says, God moves into the neighborhood. Can you get your mind around that? God moves into your street. Wonder what the neighbours do when he moves into the street? Pretend he never moved in. Ignore him. Put some tacks in his driveway to give him flat tyres, make life a bit difficult for him. Or simply fall at his feet and worship the Lord God Almighty. God becomes what we are, humans, so that we might become what he intends us to be, his children. Who's the baby born in that Bethlehem feeding trough? Oh, it's the Word, the Logos, the one who was with God, the one who is God, the one who is life and gives life to all. and gives eternal life to all who trust in him. The one who brings blazing light into a spiritually dark, dark world. And the one who takes on flesh, takes up our case. God who becomes like us, who becomes like humans, so that we might become what he intends us to be, his very own children. That's the website, www.thewordiscomgod.com. And the question is whether you've bookmarked that website in your own life. Not always. I kind of remember I did it some time back. I remember praying a little prayer. It hasn't meant much to me since then. Do you keep the bookmark up to date and regularly go back and read the home page? Do you regularly continue to say, yes, Lord, I am continuing to trust in you? Because God's promises as we do that, that we are members of his family. It's a right that's conferred on us. It's a right that's conferred on us by the Word himself. And if you've done that, then you've got lots of brothers and sisters here, all around the world. And what I'd like you to do this Sunday is to grab across the creek, and inside it you'll find our little yellow encouragement cards. And what I'd like you to do as you leave today is encourage one of your brothers and sisters in God's family by some simple little message. It's so powerful. It's such an extraordinary expression, isn't it, of oneness in God's family. And as you do it, you've got praise in your hearts. Wow, this right has been confirmed on me by the Word. The one who I am trusting in, the one who I will continue to trust in. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, the Logos, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Let's pray together.